Isaiah 26, tonight we know that Isaiah prophesied a lot about the nation of Israel and about Jesus and the millennial kingdom. And so this is one of those passages, and it's one of those that doctrinally it was not necessarily spoken to the church or about the church, but man, you better believe devotionally it absolutely applies. And it doesn't matter what dispensation you're in, this verse we're going to look at tonight holds true. And I'm glad God's a faithful God. I'm glad that He's a helpful God. I'm glad He's concerned about us. And He will react. You ever talk to somebody and they never reacted to you? Just, y'all ought to come up here about every Sunday and just try it for a few minutes. Talk to people and they don't react. That's frustrating. Amen. But man, I'm glad the Lord will react and He will respond. And many times He will answer our prayers and do what we've asked Him to do. And I'm thankful for that. I'm also grateful that in Romans chapter 8, that a lot of times we don't know what to pray for. But the Lord knows. He knows what we need. And many times will send that without us even being able to articulate it in a prayer and gives us what we need. And He's a faithful God. And I'm glad He's mine and I'm His. Amen. So Isaiah 26 tonight, Bible says this, in that day, verse 1, shall this song be sung in the land of Judah? We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. And if you remember, just a little put it back in context here. I preached last Sunday about the two future judgments. Right, that everybody's going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne. And there's actually a third. There's the judgment of what we call the judgment of nations. And Jesus chronicles that in the end of Matthew 25, I believe it is. And He talks about that those who have been a friend to Israel, and the reference is during the tribulation time, those who have been a friend to Israel, that He will allow them into that millennial kingdom if they've survived that tribulation time. But those that were not a friend to Israel and betrayed them or abused them or whatever it might be, that He would turn them away at that time. And so here He's talking about, open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. That's that judgment of nations, okay, being able to enter into that kingdom. All right, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him, here's the verse, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Let's pray tonight and ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for a good day. Thank you, Lord, for all these folks that have made the effort to come to church again tonight. We pray that you'll bless the effort and the faithfulness. Lord, please help me tonight to speak truth. I pray that you'll speak through me, that my vessel is sanctified and meet for your use. And Lord, that you'll use me tonight for your glory and for your honor. I pray that the word of God would have free course and that our church would mix the preaching with faith, that it might be profitable and effectual in our lives. Pray that you'd be glorified, Lord. We sure love you. We thank you for being our Savior. We thank you, Lord, for this peace. Lord Jesus, we're glad that you've given us your peace, not the peace of the world. And Lord, we're grateful that it can be perfect and that it can be just like Jesus. And I pray that you'll help us as we round out this study on perfection, Lord, to be that accurate, exact copy of our Lord and Savior. Thank you again for being so kind to us, and help us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So here in Isaiah 26, verse 3, the Bible says, thou shalt keep him, or thou wilt keep him, excuse me, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now, the tendency, and this is what I sat down, when I sat down and put this message together, I immediately had the preconception and the notion, I'm going to talk about difficult times in people's lives. Right? Because I think when we read that verse, that's immediately what sort of comes to mind. And it absolutely applies to problems and difficult times in people's lives. But I think it also needs to apply to prosperous times. And we need to look at that balanced tonight. And so with the Lord's help, we're going to do that. Whether it's prosperity in your life or whether it's problems in your life, we all want the perfect peace of God to be ruling and reigning in our hearts. And it's easy for us to understand that when the problems come, Well, now everything's upside down and we need God's help. But prosperity is equally as dangerous. And the Lord has a lot to say and a lot to warn about when it comes to prosperity and riches. And so with the Lord's help, we'll see some of those things tonight. But let's look here. It's a great promise in verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. I don't know where this fits in the grand scheme of this study. It could be a characteristic of perfection. And I think that's probably more applicable as to where it needs to fit, because those of us that the Lord is perfecting, that's all of us in here that are saved, and making us more like Jesus. If you think about the Lord Jesus Christ's life and think about, man, could you imagine how happy it made him to have 5,000 men plus women and children gather together to listen to him teach? You know that had to make him happy. And he just relished in the opportunity to speak the truth of God to these people as God in the flesh. And you know it made him so happy when blind Bartimaeus is crying out, Lord Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he's able to stop and heal that man. You know that gave Jesus much pleasure. And as the crowds thronged him, as they talked about, and they're just trying to get around Jesus, trying to be around him, you know that thrilled his heart. But the thing about Jesus is he didn't let that prosperity and that popularity go to his head. Equally so, as we see Jesus in Pilate's judgment hall, having been betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and they're asking him all these questions, and they're trying to catch him in his words. And I believe the picture is the Lord Jesus Christ, handcuffed, whatever you tied, whatever his hands were, but I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting there in perfect peace. And they get him over there in front of the high priest. Then he goes to Pilate, and in that judgment hall, and those soldiers are mocking him. And they're punching him in the face, and they're plucking his beard out, and they're shoving that crown of thorns. I believe he's just as a lamb dumb, led to the slaughter. I believe Isaiah said that he held his peace. And as they lead him up Golgotha's hill, and he can barely get up there, and Simon carries that cross up, and they lay that cross down, and the other two thieves, you know it was a boxing match, try to get those guys, a wrestling match, to get them on the ground, get them on that cross. And they'd start to nail their hands in there, and they're screaming in agony and pain, and yet the Bible says that Jesus laid down his life. And I believe he walked over and he calmly laid down, peacefully laid down, and stretched those arms out. Doesn't mean they didn't have to hold them down, because I can only imagine what a body might do when it reflexes to that kind of pain. But he wasn't screaming, and he wasn't cursing, and he wasn't yelling. And as he hung on the cross, those seven statements from the cross, only one really in sort of any emotion, and that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And whether it was prosperity or problems in the Lord Jesus Christ's life, he was in perfect peace. And a lot of that is due to the fact that he knew he was doing the Father's will. And for you and I in our lives, that's why it's important to do the perfect will of God, so that we can have perfect peace, even though there might be problems in the perfect will of God, even though there might be prosperity in the perfect will of God, that we would have perfect peace no matter what comes down the line at us. So the Lord makes this promise here in Isaiah 26, and he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. And it's a great promise, but it's a conditional promise. And it's a great promise that comes with two requirements. And the Bible says, whose mind, number one, is stayed on thee. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Turn with me, if you would. Come over to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll get you to turn tonight so you can stay awake. I'm working on that easy sleep aid CD. Amen. Might give those out for Christmas. Whose mind is stayed on thee. Now, a mind stayed, that word stayed means fixed. That word stayed means settled. That word stayed means sober. And whether it's problems or whether it's prosperity that come in our life, the Lord Jesus Christ desires for us to keep our mind on an even keel. You've heard me mention this before, I'm sure, here at the church, that sometimes our lives get to be like a roller coaster, don't they? They're up and they're down and they're left and they're right. And man, those roller coasters that take you through that corkscrew and turn you upside down, you got to be mental to get on one of those things. Anyway, that's how some people's lives feel to them, right? They're climbing, prosperity, right? They're climbing, and then they sort of top out and everything goes quiet. And they wonder, well, where'd that prosperity ticking go? Where'd that climbing go? And then all of a sudden the bottom falls out, right? And here they go down that big drop, and then they're going all through all these different things. And that's just a picture of a life that's going steadily, and then all of a sudden a major disaster or a major problem occurs. And that's how we would equate that. And so the Lord does not want our life like a roller coaster. He wants our life to be way more consistent than that. He doesn't want the extreme highs and the extreme lows and the extreme swerving and turning, as he talks about in the Bible, and make shipwreck of our life. He wants us on the straight and narrow, and he wants us, look, we're emotional people, right? We live in a fallen world. We're going to have highs and we're going to have lows. But the Lord wants us to keep our mind stayed on him, fixed on him, settled, sober, so that the highs are not extreme and the lows are not extreme. You're going to experience the ups and downs, the lefts and rights of life. But the Lord doesn't want those things to just totally shipwreck us. And I really appreciate, I'll say this at the outset of this message in case I forget it later on, I really appreciate the maturity of many of you in this room tonight who have gone through extreme circumstances, situations, and you've held steady on the course, and I praise God for it. Because you've been a really good example to everybody else in this room. And we thank you for that, and we praise the Lord for that. And so the Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. Now that's a military term, isn't it? To gird up your loins. You know, the Lord, as we're talking about the highs and lows of life, the Lord told Job to gird up his loins and to stand up and to answer God like a man. Could you imagine? I believe the Lord would say that to many of us as we get downtrodden and maybe confused about what's happening in life. And I appreciate the Bible says about Job that he didn't charge God foolishly. Never one time did Job curse God because of what he went through. Never one time did he shake his fist in anger at God. But you know, Job had some questions, didn't he? And he got into that conversation, and by the third round with those so-called friends, they're starting to pull Job off track. And I believe the Lord stepped in to stop all of that before Job ended up somewhere that he didn't need to be mentally and spiritually. But the Lord looks at Job and he says, I want you to gird up the loins and stand up here and answer me like a man. And so to gird up one's loins is not to be at ease. To gird up one's loins is to be prepared. It's to be ready. It's to be paying attention. Amen. Not snoozing like we did this afternoon, but alert, hopefully, as you were driving here. Amen. Okay, so gird up the loins, Bible says, of your mind. And in the world we live in, the amusement, the entertainment, the screens, all the things that can just suck the energy out of our mind. And God says, hey, listen, I need you to pay attention in your life. He said, I need you to be ready. I need you to have your mind, listen, fixed and settled and sober and stayed on God and on the things of God. That'll help us in this life. And I believe it's a characteristic of a Christian who's being perfected. And he goes on to say, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Come with me to Colossians 1, just back a few pages. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says, When you get there, verse 23, Colossians 1, 23 says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, there's that word, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, which was preached unto every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And so he's writing to the church at Colossae, and he says, you guys, God wants you to be settled. There's a song in the Black Book, The King of Love, My Shepherd Is. And it talks about there at the Lord's table and at the Lord's presence, it says, there would I find a settled rest. Man, what a great thing. I was reading this morning about, and this was a great one too, reading this morning about Martha and Mary over there in Luke. Remember them? Why is it that sisters always, why is that Bethany? Why is that Abby? Why is that Clara? I don't know either. But sisters always at odds, it seems like, on some things. We were sitting there at the house today and girls kind of got flustered up at each other and, then all of a sudden, about 3 minutes later, you hear Abigail start playing the piano and they're both singing. I looked at my wife and I said, what is that? How does that happen? And we don't know because we didn't have the siblings. We have no idea how that's a phenomenon. It's new to us. But anyway, nonetheless, that settled rest. And there's Martha and there's Mary. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and she's learning and she's at rest and she's at peace. And then there's Martha. The Bible says, cumbered about much, sir. And she's just flustered and she's agitated and she's irritated. And she comes to Jesus. Jesus, why isn't Mary helping me? I got a lot to do. Don't you know that? You know, paraphrasing. Martha, Martha. Well, that perfect peace and that rest, settled rest and the sobriety of one's mind. Boy, those are things that the world longs to have, and yet it's available to the Christian every day. One of the ways we get that is to have our mind stayed on the Lord. The second truth, and then I'm going to come back and deal with this prosperity thing. In Isaiah 26, it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And then it says, who trusteth in thee. And so to have our mind stayed on God, fixed, settled, sober, and then have our trust placed in the Lord, that is how the Lord promises that perfect peace will come to our life. You don't have to turn to these places, but if you're taking notes, you can write these down and cross-reference these if you want to. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, in Romans chapter 1, verse 17, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, the Bible says, in all those places the just shall live by faith. Right, so if you say tonight, the Lord expects us to live by faith. I tell you, exercising faith in the Lord is one of the most calming things you can do in this life. When you've got a circumstance, whether it's prosperity or problems, that's causing you issues and got you cumbered, amen, and unsettled and agitated and just nervous and anxious, amen. We sort of knock all the psychology terms in the ministry, but psychology is a real human aspect, right? And anxiety is a real thing, and people have to deal with anxiety and with depression. And the Lord says, listen, he says, if you'll put your faith in me and get your mind stayed on me, he said, I'll give you perfect peace to help you deal with all that. And I've been in my life, man, there's been circumstances, most of them I would honestly say to you that have been problems or potential problems. And you know my imagination, amen, I'm really good at figuring out how it can be really bad. And to get before the Lord and to get my mind on Him and to tell Him about the matter and to express my fears to Him and just say, Lord, I'm laying this in your lap tonight. Would you please help me? I'm telling you that there is nothing like that burden lifting off and knowing that it's in God's hands and you're trusting Him. And no, listen, no matter what happens, whether it turns out the way you want it to turn out or whether it doesn't, that when you place it in God's hands, you know that how it turns out, He's got it in your best interest. And when we get to that point and resign all that care and resign all that anxiety and resign that burden and lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, there's a peace that passes all understanding. And it just floods your heart and it floods your soul and it floods your mind, and it's a blessing. And so the Bible says the way to get that, have your mind stayed on God and trust in Him. We know the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, again, don't have to turn over there, 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. And we quoted it this morning, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I'm going to take the angle of this tonight about prosperity. We've all heard, you've heard it from me for many, many times. And I just remind you that the Lord is a very present help in time of need. I'm glad He is. You know so well the instance of the disciples getting in the boat to go across the Sea of Galilee, and the storm kicks up and the waves are beating and the wind's blowing and the rain, and it, you know, you can imagine just what chaos it was, and they're freaking out and they're crying and they're screaming, and Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat. And they go back to Him and say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And He says, "Oh, ye of little faith." Okay. And you've all heard preaching on that, and I've preached on it, and how the Lord Jesus Christ can calm the storms in your life. And I'm telling you, He can. We sang the song tonight, "The waves and winds still know His voice." Praise the Lord for that. Okay. He can. He can calm your storms, and He'll never leave thee. He'll never forsake thee. He's given you all those promises, and He is ready and willing to help when we call out to Him as a faithful God, and we just praise His name for that. But tonight also, that's the problem side, and everybody's very familiar with that problem side. I want to talk about the prosperity side, because as a child of God being perfected, I think what young people did, what I struggled with the most growing up, was not problems in life, but prosperity. It wasn't that I didn't have cancer growing up, thank God. My mom and dad were healthy growing up, praise the Lord for that. I didn't have major negative things that occurred in my life. But the Lord blessed my life, and I enjoyed some prosperity in various areas, whether it's athletics or academics or in architecture at Virginia Tech. And what I struggled with was the blessing of God and keeping a level keel when things are really going good. And so I just want to bare my heart to you tonight, because I think young Christians, babes in Christ, it's easy for them to understand when things are going wrong, okay, I need God's help, and call out to God, and to get that rapport going with the Lord, and to see Him work in their life and help them through those things. What a blessing that is. I think as we get older in our Christian walk, and we begin to then see some prosperity perhaps in our life, whether it's we're making more money than we've ever made, or we've got better things than we've ever had. Amen. Brother Dave and I were talking before church, he was just talking about, you know, growing up. I hope it's okay to say this, brother. He said, you know, growing up, and when he and Karen got married and had the girls, and they ate him out of house and home, you know, and that's the way that thing goes sometimes. But he said, you know, I couldn't afford a nice gun. I'd use the one Dad gave me that he got from Granddad, right? And he said, I couldn't afford a nice fishing reel. And, you know, we didn't have time to go on vacations, things like that. But now that they're retired and they got the grandbabies and they pass them off anytime they want to, amen? And got a little more income and got things settled in their life, now they can enjoy some things. And that's the way life goes. And so tonight I really want to focus on this prosperity. And I hope this will help you, because I believe, especially with our young folks in here, you guys are so talented. We don't want you to get the big head, so we're going to tell you hadn't arrived yet. But you really are. You've got advantages that a lot of young people, most young people in America, don't have. And you're being raised in Christian homes, and you've got a church family that loves you dearly, and God has so blessed you all with spiritual gifts, if you could just see and understand what God's given you. And so we want you to be able to handle the prosperity without blowing out of the universe. Amen. Okay, so let's look here. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. We're going to talk about riches tonight. Okay, so we're going to talk about money. But I want this to be understood and thought of in the broader sense of just God's blessing, rich blessings upon your life. And what we might call prosperity, because, you know, the Bible does say in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 5 tonight, Bible says this in verse 13, Ecclesiastes 5:13, there is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail. He begetteth a son, there is nothing in his hand. Okay, so here, Solomon, right, the richest man to ever live on the face of the earth. God gave him riches beyond his wildest dreams. He didn't ask for them, and the Lord blessed him. And in many ways, we can look at Solomon's life because he did not keep his mind stayed on God. And because he did not trust and obey God, the prosperity ruined him. When you're that popular, and you can get 1,000 women to marry you, I did good to get one. Can I get a witness tonight, men? You get that one, you think, how in the world could another one? Anyway. You live with yourself for a while, you really understand what your wife puts up with. And you say, yeah, amen, Brother Adam, amen. But Solomon here, the richest man ever lived, said there's a sore evil. He said it causes problems. He says, for someone to have riches and to keep them to their hurt. Okay? So come over to 1 Timothy chapter 6. That tells me then that prosperity can be detrimental. Right? Or I could say it this way, prosperity can cause problems. 1 Timothy chapter 6, you know the passage, you know it very well. Most of you in here probably quote it tonight, but let's look at it again, because there's two words that I'm interested in getting to in this message about perfect peace. And it's whether you have prosperity or it's whether you have problems. These two words still apply in these circumstances. 1 Timothy chapter 6 tonight, in verse 6, you know the verse, godliness with contentment, there's one of the words, is great gain. Godliness with contentment. Now that's a struggle in America. Because you and I are bombarded with advertisements and the newest thing and this and that and the other thing. Man, it gave me so much pleasure. Getting you'll appreciate this. It gave me so much pleasure when I had that Land Cruiser down there at Toyota Kingsport. I had to leave it overnight because they didn't order a part. When I told them to order a part, and then they had to order a part and give me a loaner. Follow all that. And so they give me a 2025 Toyota Tacoma, 4-cylinder, turbo. It's what they drive in Europe, right? It's America. Naturally aspirated, Brother Dave, amen? Nonetheless, nice truck, okay? I wouldn't buy one if my life depended on it, but nice truck. And so I drive it, I'd go up and down the interstate and everything, get back there, and I walk in, and the service tech, he said, well, Mr. Brown, he said, what do you think about that truck? I said, give me my Land Cruiser back. And he laughed. He said, well, I've already had two people ask if it was for sale out there. They sat it out in the front, you know. And but anyway, where was I going with that? The world wants to convince you need another vehicle. They want to convince you need this new vehicle that'll drive for you. I like to drive my vehicles. Man, I don't need all the nannies in there. the world will try to convince you, you know, these styles and all the things, the materialism of this world and the houses, man, and listen, all those HGTV shows, I'm telling you, we've watched those things, and all it makes you do is want a new bathroom. And that ain't cheap. And it makes you, you know, I'm in the landscape design business, right? Makes you want a pool, okay? I like it when people call and say, I'd like to have a pool. Okay, but pools cost as much as houses cost now. And the world we live in is just geared to you wanting the next thing and the newest thing. And now it's the iPhone 17 Pro Max.com / you know, whatever it is. And my 13's working just fine. I think Dad's got a 5 or something like that. Starting to not work just fine. But nonetheless, the point about all this is, I know we like to laugh about those things, but the point is contentment. You know what contentment will bring you? It'll bring you a lot of peace. So we don't have this agitation and this unsettledness of, I just got to have. When you look at those vehicles in the driveway and they're paid for, amen. You don't have to worry about where that car payment's going to come from. God's already, you've made a wise choice and the Lord's already taken care of that for you. The credit card bills. And people get stressed out about credit cards. I know how to fix that. Cut them up. Don't use them. But nonetheless, right? Those things are easy. And the world has made it so easy to obtain these things. We could talk about that forever. But the point is, contentment tonight will bring you great peace. But in order to be content, listen, we got to have our mind stayed on God, not on the things of this earth. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things of the earth, right? And then we've got to trust in the Lord. Now listen, I know I chose to purchase a vehicle with over 200,000 miles. I get that, okay? But it has increased my faith, having to drive that thing, okay? And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. But when we trust in the Lord and our minds stayed on Him, that perfect peace comes in the form of contentment. And he goes on to say, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. We'll talk about that surfeiting and drunkenness here in just a minute over in Luke 21. And he goes on to say, verse 9. Now, the point of all this is Solomon said that riches can be kept to the hurt of the owners. That prosperity can actually hurt us. And so here's how. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation. That doesn't sound very peaceful, does it? And a snare. That's certainly not very... If you've ever seen an animal in a snare, that ain't peaceful. That's frantic. That's freak out time. And it goes on to say, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. That doesn't sound like peaceful. Which drown men in destruction and perdition. That doesn't sound like peaceful. And everybody in this room knows somebody who's gone down this path and sought the world's riches and sought the world's fame and sought the world's popularity, and their life's just an absolute disaster now because they didn't keep their mind stayed on the Lord, and they didn't trust the Lord, and they weren't content. And he goes on to say, verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, watch now, they have erred from the faith. That's not a good thing. And pierced them. Man, if you ever get pierced, that hurts. You imagine, I mean, think about, you know, cutting your finger in the kitchen, ladies, or fellows out there walking in the woods. It's almost hunting season, amen. And them big green briars get a hold of your leg. It pierces that. See, it doesn't feel good. Get a fishing hook in your hand, amen. Been there and done that. That doesn't feel good. Pierce themselves through with many sorrows. So the point of all this is, Solomon said, that riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt, that prosperity can actually be a detrimental thing in the life of a Christian. And 1 Timothy 6, God says, I'm warning you right now. He says, the pursuit of those riches, the pursuit of prosperity, he said, if that's what you've got to have to be happy, he said, you're going to end up being miserable and being hurt and maybe even out of the faith altogether because of that desire to have what the world wants or what the world has. So what's the solution? Be content with such things as you have. Now listen, there's things in my life I'd like to have right now. But God has not seen fit to give that to me. And so I have a choice. I can either get mad at God and get so consumed with trying to get the thing that he hasn't given me and hasn't said okay for me to have and get in trouble. Or we can be content with what God has given us, get our mind stayed on him, stay busy in the ministry, raise these girls to the best of our ability, be a blessing to this church. And there's a whole lot more peace in that than there is pursuing the things that God says, I don't want you to have that. Here in 1 Timothy 6, look down at verse 17. 1 Timothy 6:17, the Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. We're supposed to be trusting in the Lord, right? You know, I understand in some of the stock market crashes of this country that investors in New York City and people that were in that business when the stock market crashed were jumping out of office-story windows committing suicide. You know why? Because they had their hope and trust wrapped up in that market. That was their safety net. Hey, listen, if you're saved tonight, God's your safety net. You can lose every dime you own, and you're still a child of God. You can lose everything that you have in this earth world in terms of earthly possessions, and you've still got an inheritance undefiled, incorruptible, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. Valerie's dad is such a gem. Got such a dry humor about him. And I love it. And Rick, the other day we were talking about something, and they were here last, and he was talking about the cost of it. And he just kind of chuckled the way only he can. He said, but, you know, we're just spending your inheritance. I think I told him, well, you earned it. It's all right, you know. But I told Valerie, I said, next time I'm telling him, no, you're not. I got an inheritance undefiled, incorruptible, right? I'm going to have to memorize that verse a lot better. But anyway, where were we? 17. Charge them rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. And I'm telling you, the blessings that come in our lives when we know it came from God's hand. Oh, it's just peaceful. It's just enjoyable. We just sit back and relax and enjoy Him and thank God for all of His goodness to us. The Bible does say about those riches in Proverbs 23, verse 5, you don't have to turn, but Proverbs 23, 5 says those riches make themselves wings and fly away. And man, I'm telling you, I never dreamed that how fast money comes in and goes out. It's just, and you work and you toil and you go through all the stress of working that job and you get paid and you think, man, great. And then the bills hit and you think, where'd it go? That's just life, right? It's just life down here. And so may the Lord help us. Now, one thing that I do want to point out real quick, as you can be turned to Luke 21. Don't be quick to forget the principle that was going on in Habakkuk. I'll give you this real quickly, and then we're going to cover these verses and be done tonight. You remember in Habakkuk's day, he was sent to go talk to Zerubbabel and those guys that were rebuilding the temple at Jerusalem. No, sorry, it's Haggai. Excuse me, Haggai. And nonetheless, Haggai was sent, and he gets there. And Zerubbabel, as you know, had left off building the temple. They let that political pressure stop them. And so he had left off doing that. And Haggai comes in and says, consider your ways. He says that multiple times in his little epistle. Consider your ways, consider your ways. And he tells those guys, he says, you all are working on your sealed houses and the Lord's house is laying waste. And he said, because you're not honoring the Lord with your substance, with your time, with your abilities. Now get this, church. The Lord told those people, he said, you're earning wages and putting it into bags with holes. And I'm telling you, church, you and I have got to be so careful. When the Lord begins to bless, financially now, I'm specifically talking, financially and materially, when the Lord blesses, we've got to be so careful that we don't stop honoring Him with our substance. It is the Lord that gives us the ability to get wealth in the first place. And so we continue to honor Him, and everything will be just fine. But we start making, I remember going to Charlottesville and getting that first paycheck. That's the most money I'd ever seen on a paycheck in my life. And now it wouldn't even cover a week's worth of expenses almost, it seems like. And that's the way life goes. Nonetheless, we continue to honor God. And what happened there in Jerusalem during Zerubbabel's day and Haggai had to go is they stopped honoring God with their substance. And they turned it and were using it all on themselves. Building them nice, pretty houses and getting their houses all set and God's house laying down there in rubbish. Okay, so the Lord warned them about that. Okay. Luke 21. So we know that prosperity and problems can both bring about a situation of no peace. Okay. The more possessions you have, the more you got to worry about them. There ain't no way in this world I'd drive a Lamborghini. Number one, because I can't afford one. But number two, I'd be scared to death somebody trying to steal it from me. Right? It's just the way life is. Or hit it in the parking lot because they weren't paying attention. Right? As I went to Food City in my Lamborghini. But anyway. I don't think it'd make it up the hill out there, honestly. Anyway, folks worry to death about their stocks and their portfolios and their investments. And listen, if you do any of that stuff, you got to give that stuff to God. And you just got to let the Lord take care of that. And I think there's some wisdom in those things, but it can't be what consumes us. It can't be the whole drive behind us living our life to get more and more and more. There has to be a point of contentment. And then there's got to be a point where we've got what we need, and then God says, hey, by the way, I need you to take some of that overage that I've given you and give it to somebody else that needs it. And boy, when that comes in, now we're really going to get where the rubber hits the road, and we're going to see what our hearts are really like. But in Luke 21, Jesus here is teaching. You know the verse. He says in verse 20 or 34, Luke 21, 34, he says, and take heed to yourselves. That means pay attention, be careful. He says, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Now, I think in those three things, the first two, I believe, go together. Surfeiting and drunkenness. Okay, surfeiting, as you know, it's not at the beach, right? Amen. It's eating to excess. Eating to excess. And Americans got a problem with that. And, I'll just say this tonight. This is always popular in the Baptist church. But if you eat too much, you're going to have problems. I told you, I wouldn't expect an amen right there. But the prosperity can lead to problems when it comes to what's on the plate. Don't you like all alliteration? So to be overcharged is loaded to excess. It's to crowd. It's to have too much. It's to be a burden. And the Lord said that our hearts can be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. And I would say, I think you'd agree, that's prosperity. Listen, we live in a culture today that makes food an idol. It makes a little g god out of it. Mainly because people are addicted to what's in it. Sugar. Nonetheless, see, I knew that wouldn't be popular. It's okay. Nonetheless, Folks, listen, we go out to eat probably less now than we ever had in our life. And it's just, it's so expensive. I mean, it's so expensive. You go sit down at a restaurant and have a meal for four brought. The tip that they expect is the price of a whole nother meal. So you're feeding five people and you've only got four in your party. But it's expensive. Listen, you do that every week, that's going to add up. And we'll go out to eat every now and then, and you know, we'll be sitting in a restaurant that if they serve alcohol or something like that, and you know, people getting those drinks and they're $8 and $10 a drink. Or a whole bottle of wine, it's $40 and $50. How do they do that and add that on to the price of all the food? It's a lot of credit card. But it shows what their heart is after. And listen, I love sitting down eating a good meal as much as anybody else. But there comes times we got to moderate that thing. Man, moderate that thing. Let your moderation be known, the Bible says. The Lord's at hand. See, that didn't get any amens last time I preached it. Nonetheless, that surfeiting and drunkenness, that's the prosperity. And I'm telling you, that brings a lot of problems. The Bible says over in Proverbs, says, he that loveth oil and wine shall not be rich. I believe they had eat-out restaurants in Jesus' day, don't you? He that loveth oil and wine shall not be rich. And so the Lord says, moderate that. Says, be content with what I've given you when it comes to your food. And then he talks about, that's the prosperity, then he talks about the cares of life. And I would say that's where the problems come in. The cares of life. And I've alliterated all these for you just so you can think about these things, but you know, you got a family, you got cares. And it may not be a health problem, it may not be anything, but I know Paul talked about the care of the churches, that he daily was under that burden. And can I just tell you, as a pastor and the pastor of this church, I care for you guys, and the things that go on in your life, it affects me too. And it's not the bad things, they really stink, so let's not do any bad stuff, okay? But I find myself, I'll be driving down the road and one of you or two of you or a family will pop into my mind. And there's things that as your pastor I can see that maybe I'm concerned with or that I know you're dealing with in your life and burdens, and it becomes my burden. And so I then that care of life, man, it gets heavy sometimes. And the Lord said, take heed that your heart be not overcharged in the cares of this life. That's why he told us in Philippians chapter 4, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then he promised, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now the cares of life, guys, they're real. We're not going to turn an eye to them tonight and say they don't exist, because they do exist. And you still have to deal with them. And I still have to deal with them. But the Lord says, don't let your heart be overcharged in that. Don't let it be overburdened or loaded to excess. We could talk about, so there's the family cares of this life. And then there's financial cares. We've talked a lot about that tonight. And then there's friends. Right? We all have friends that are going through things or that need help, or that we're concerned about, whatever it might be. And the cares of life when it comes to our friends, the cares of life when it comes to fun. Everybody needs some time off, amen? Everybody ought to have a hobby that you enjoy. Right? You ought to have something that helps sort of disconnect you from all the rigors of life. And so those cares of life when it comes to fun and entertainment. And fun and entertainment, we always preach about them in the negative. They're not bad as long as they're kept in moderation. I mean, the Lord did tell his disciples, come apart to a desert place and rest a while. Now, I know when they got there, they had to, you know, deal with 10 to 15,000 people. I get that. But the idea was, let's go over here and take a break for a minute. We have the cares of life when it comes to our faith, when it comes to our church, when it comes to the work of perfection and God is doing in our life. And there's burdens and there's things that we have to carry when it comes. We have cares of life when it comes to our feelings. Look, we're not going to turn a blind eye to that. We're emotional people. God created us that way. But He wants us to keep our feelings in check, in moderation. And then these last two, I think, are big ones. The cares of life when it comes to our future. I'm saved tonight, aren't you? I know where my future is ultimately going to be. But it's a big burden to think about the future for those two sitting right there with my wife. It's a big burden to think about the future of these young folks in our church. And man, y'all quit growing up so fast, would you? It's a burden. Hey, listen, it's a major burden on your pastor. You can pray for me on this. It's a major burden on your pastor about the future of our church. What's it going to be like here in 10 years, in 20 years, if the Lord doesn't come back and get us out of here? It's a big burden. But the Lord said, don't let your heart be overcharged with that care. He didn't say don't have the care. He said, don't let it be overcharged. How do I do that? I keep my mind stayed on Him and I trust in the Lord. You know how many times I've had in my heart just be so agitated and anxious about things going on at this church, and I've just got to get on this altar and say, Lord, it's in your hands. It's your church. It's your hands. You take care of it, Lord. And if I need to do something, you show it to me. But Lord, I got to give this to you. And I'm telling you, it's a peace that passes all understanding when you can do that. And then our faults. Well, we all have them, don't we? Especially me.
Amen. Amen, preacher.
No, our faults can be a burden to us. They can, and we just, sometimes we cause ourselves more trouble than we ought to. That's just the way it is. But we keep our minds stayed on the Lord and ask the Lord for mercy like David did. Ask Him for strength and help like Paul did. Lord, give you peace, that perfect peace. Come over to Luke chapter 8. I'm going to wind this thing down. Grab Luke 8. It's getting late. Y'all have been listening really well. Thank you. Luke 8. And then grab Proverbs 30. Okay, Luke 8 and Proverbs 30, and we'll land her down. Luke 8, Proverbs 30. Luke chapter 8. The reason the Lord wants us to manage the cares of our life and bring those burdens to the Lord and leave them there, as the great hymn says, the reason for that is because if we become overcharged in our heart, overburdened, burdened to excess in our heart about the cares of life, it will have a negative spiritual effect in our lives. And this is probably one of the hardest things about the Christian life. Because everybody in here has got cares, and everybody in here has got things that burden you and that you have to take care of. Nobody else can take care of them. You have to take care of them. And so the Lord just gives us the warning. He says, I know, I understand that life down there is full of trouble and it's full of necessary evils that you got to do. But the Lord says, I'm going to give you this warning. He said, don't let your heart be overcharged with the cares of this life. And then He tells you why. In Luke chapter 8, the Bible says this. This is about the parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8, verse 14, it says this. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth and are choked. And what are they choked with? You know what it means to be choked, don't you? You ever seen somebody choke before? You ever choked before? It ain't peaceful. I choked the other day drinking water. That's one of my talents. Amen. And I was coughing my head off. My girls thought I was going to throw up, and they can't handle that. So they got up and left the room. And I came back when Daddy got it sorted out. Listen, you ever see an animal get in one of those choke traps? They will thrash everything around them trying to get air. And God said that's the picture of of somebody in their life that the cares of life are just choking the life out of them. It's just so heavy and it's so burdensome, and it seems like those snare traps, well, using for coyotes, the more that animal moves, the tighter it gets. And that's how this life feels, and the cares of this life feel sometimes. And God says, but if you'll keep your mind stayed on me, He says, you'll trust me. He said, I'll give you a peace that passes all understanding, a perfect peace. And might I say this to you tonight, I believe it's the mark of a mature Christian that their life stays on an even keel. And that when prosperity comes, they keep it in perspective. They don't let their lusts and their desires grow with their expansion of their income or the blessings of God. And they keep things in contentment and they're just as happy as they can be. And then also it's true that when the problems come, that the problems don't derail that mature Christian, because they know that the Lord's their only help. They know how to, because they've done it before, they know how to take that burden to the Lord and to pray and to lay that at the Lord's feet and let Him minister that sweet peace to their heart. And so in Luke 8:14, the Bible says, they which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches. I'd say that's prosperity, wouldn't you? And pleasures, that's absolutely prosperity. And so the cares would be the problems of this life. And then look. This is how the whole series is going to end. And bring no fruit to perfection. Ain't that something? The Lord ties it all back together and He says, the work of perfection I'm trying to do in your life, He says, it will be retarded, it will be stymied, it will be slowed or brought to a halt if you and I allow the cares of life to overcharge our hearts. And church, I guess from a pastor's perspective, that's a real care. That's a real concern. And nobody here, as far as I know, everybody here is doing what you're supposed to do. You can go to Proverbs 30. Everybody here is doing what you're supposed to do. You're trying to live a life that pleases Jesus Christ. You're at church faithfully. Praise the Lord for it. You seem to like each other. Hallelujah. Amen. But your pastor now, this is just insight into the pastor. Your pastor, when the cares of life crop up, I get nervous. Because I know you're going to try to do what's right. You're going to try to do what you're supposed to do. And I salute you 1,000 times over in that. But I know, and you need to know, that when those cares of life crop up, it has the potential to negatively affect you spiritually. Now, God give you the strength to take care of those burdens and it not mess with you. He will. He'll give you, and you'll come through that trial of faith. You'll come through those things just stronger and shinier for God, and that gold glistening, amen. But it can go the other way. And that's the care. That's the danger. And that's the thing that the Lord says in Isaiah 26. He says, listen, you got to keep your mind stayed on me. And He says, you got to keep trusting me. And He says, I'll give you perfect peace. And that contentment and peace that passes all understanding, it's priceless. And then here's the next word, the next C word as we end out tonight, and we'll be done. Proverbs 30, verse 7, the Bible says, Proverbs 37, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Watch now. Give me neither poverty. That'd be problems, wouldn't it? Nor riches, there's prosperity. Feed me with food, and the word is convenient. Now that doesn't mean McDonald's. That word convenient means suitable. And there's a lot of wisdom in that statement. He says, verse 9, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? That's the problems that can come in from prosperity. Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. And in those verses, you have the struggle of every human being on the face of this earth. but contentment and convenient are two things that will bring peace, perfect peace, to our lives. And really, church, that's what we ought to be striving for. That's what we ought to be striving for. I hope, I pray, that this series has helped you. It has vastly helped me. And it's helped me, what it's helped me do is understand how God is working in my life and how He's working in your life and how He wants to work in our life. And some of the frustrations that come about in this spiritual life, when we understand that it's the perfecting process that God is bringing us through, and that the expected end is to be an exact, accurate copy of Jesus Christ, I'll just be honest, for me, it makes it a whole lot easier to go through it. Because I know God is working. Even though I failed, even though my faults have got me in trouble, the Lord is working, because all things do work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. What's His purpose? To conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. But tonight, as we finish out, perfect peace. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord, no matter whether it's prosperity or problems. Keep your mind stayed on the Lord and always trust in the Lord. And He'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. And He'll be able to work that work of perfection in your life. Keep those cares of life, keep them in perspective. Don't let them overcharge you. Don't let them overwhelm you. Doesn't mean that you don't deal with them. You have to deal with them. But it's a whole lot easier to deal with them when Jesus is right there, arm in arm. Amen. In that yoke with you.